Imagine earning a degree that prepares you with real skills for the real world. Capella University's programs teach skills relevant to your career, so you can apply what you learn right away. Learn how Capella can make a difference in your life at capella.edu.
Hello, everybody. This is Jake Stanziano, host of the Jake and Gino podcast, here with my co-host, the multifamily mentor, the coach, the chef, the father, six, the best-selling author, the G-Daddy, Gino Barbaro. Gino, how's it going?
Jake, I'm doing good. How you doing today, bro?
Always making it happen, big man. For years, our guest was best known for his classic endless referrals, but it was his business parable, the Go-Giver, that created a worldwide movement. He has been successfully showing entrepreneurs, leaders, and sales professionals how to communicate their value and accelerate their referral business for over 30 years. So without further ado, Bob Berg, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Jake and Gino. Always great to be with the two of you.
Hey, it is our pleasure. And I know everyone's read, especially the Go-Giver. But for those two people out there that don't know Bob Berg, please tell us a little bit about your background and what ultimately inspired you to write the Go-Giver.
Former broadcaster turned salesperson turned sales professional.
Still got the voice.
Manager turning a whole lot. And it really, really loved sales and learning all about it. And the personal development aspect was, you know, that was really, that's what I consider my education because I certainly didn't do well in high school or college. So it was really when I got into sales that I began to really, really learn and become a student. And just, I love it. Love sales, love marketing, and trying to understand people, which is an ever-growing process, I think. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, it's kind of really what I do.
When was the epiphany of the Go-Giver? When did it come out? Like, oh, wow, that give to get mentality as far as seeking to serve. When was that first experience in your life?
Well, I think it was after I'd been in sales a couple of years, and I'd been doing pretty well because I'd studied it and worked at it and so forth. But I went to work for another company, and it started out in a slump, and I stayed in a slump. And the harder I worked at getting out of the slump, and of course I did it in the exact wrong way. I was focusing on the sale itself, and I was pressing, and it was about the sale, and it was about me, and right, mm-hmm. which of course has the opposite effect that we wanted to have. And I came back into the office one day after a missed selling appointment. And there was a gentleman there. He was an older gentleman who was not even in the sales department. I think he was in the engineering department. And as I recall, he retired soon after. But I think he saw me as sort of like Joe, the protege in the Go-Giver, who I would write about 20, 25 years later with John David Mann. And, you know, he saw me as that young, ambitious, aggressive, up and coming, yet very, very frustrated young salesperson whose focus was really in the wrong place. And he said to me, can I give you some advice? And I said, sure, please do. I absolutely need it. And he said, if you want to make a lot of money in sales, he said, don't have making money as your target. Your target, he said, is serving others. Now, when you hit the target, he said, you'll get a reward, and that reward will come in the form of money, and you can do with that money whatever you choose. But never forget, he said, the money is simply the reward for hitting the target. It's not the target itself. Your target is serving others. And that's when I think it really hit me. The great salesmanship is never about the salesperson. Great salesmanship is never about the product or service, as important as those are. Great salesmanship is really about the other person. It's about that person whose life you're trying to add value to. Really, in a sense, it's about that person whose life is better just because you are part of it. And I think that when we approach selling and business in general from that foundational premise, I really think we're 9 steps ahead of the game in a 10-step game.
When did you realize that referrals was just adding gasoline to the fire?
It just seemed like the people who were the most sustainably successful, making the most money, serving the most people, they seemed to have referral-based businesses. So mm-hmm. I wanted to know how they did it.
And why do people suck at referrals? Most people suck at getting referrals. Why do we?
So, and interestingly enough, even the most successful salespeople around tend to have a difficult time with this. They have referrals coming in, which is great, but they are leaving a lot on the table because most of them do not have systems for proactively attaining referrals. Mm. I think the biggest reason is fear. They just are afraid to ask. Why? Well, I think it has to do with the fear of rejection, for one. You know, what if that person just doesn't want to refer me? I'm setting myself up for a no. And again, these are people who might be great salespeople, mm-hmm. right? And the average and the poor and the good ones. You know, I mean, it's just it's pretty much the same with all of them, I found. Mm-hmm. It could be fear of talking past the sale, right? Am I staying too long? Am I going to talk past the sale? And once they say yes, well, of course, talking past the sale is not a good thing to do. But that has nothing to do with asking for referrals. Talking past the sale simply means once there's the point that person has enough knowledge and understanding and feeling of wanting to go ahead, and they say yes, then it's trying to still persuade them and eventually saying something that triggers something in them that causes them to have second thoughts. That's talking past the sale. That's not a good thing. But asking for referrals has nothing to do with that. There could be
that. Bob, it would be a great story if you have one, because I can almost.
When I was younger, I made all those. When I was first starting in sales, I made all those mistakes.
Get out of Dodge while you got it. Don't sit around and chit chat, right?
So here's the interesting thing.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a matter of getting out of Dodge.
I'm just kidding. I know.
Because here's the thing. When I first, the person who I first started to sell for, okay, said to me, he was like this old time kind of guy. And he said, I'm not talking about the person I'm talking about afterwards who gave me the great advice. I'm talking about the very first person I started to sell for. Yeah. His advice was, Berg, go in there, tell them what you got, sell it to them and get out of there. That's horrible advice, but that's what he did. You know, I didn't learn my selling from that person. Okay. Mm-hmm. But that is one philosophy, right? It was get out before they change their mind. What a horrible way to go about selling. But then there's also the opposite. Okay. The other side of the coin, I should say, which is staying around too long and talking past the sale. Mm-hmm. Right. And so, yeah, that's not good either. Then there's also, I think, the fear of, you know, kind of wearing out your welcome. You know, you've been there too long and this person's, especially if it's a sale that takes
stuff to do. Yeah. You can't just be wearing the people out. Yeah,
exactly. And again, that's not something you want to do, but that has nothing to do with asking for referrals correctly and professionally. Mm-hmm. And then there's the fear that comes with not knowing how to go about the process correctly. Now that's a fear that's fine, because that way, you know, you can do something about that. You can learn how to do it effectively. We're the first few, while understandable, because as human beings, we all have fears, but they don't have to stand in your way. Those you can get past those. But I think that's the answer to the question. Why do people, are they not good at referral? Well, because they don't ask correctly, and they kind of psych themselves out of asking.
Jake, did you want to jump in and ask anything?
Yeah, I was just wondering, what kind of systems do you use for referrals? Mine's, how do you systematize it? Yeah.
Yeah, mine's very simple. Now, so, let's ask the question, what is a system, right? And I personally define a system as simply the process of predictably achieving a goal based on a logical and specific set of how-to principles. The key being predictability. If it's been proven that by doing A, you'll get the desired result of B, then you know that all you need to do is A and continue to do A, and you'll get the desired results of B. Mm-hmm. So mine is kind of a two-step system for referrals. Let's say, for the sake of our discussion, you have a person in front of you who knows you, likes you, and trusts you, and would absolutely refer you if you go about it the correct way. And let's just say that this person has just become a very happy client. And by the way, you can attain referrals from people who aren't yet your clients, because they may not have the need right now for your service, but they know other people who would. So as long as the know, like, and trust is there, that's fine. But right now, we'll just say this person, Ann Jones, is a client. Mm-hmm. Okay. So the first thing I like to do is just to attain her buy-in to the idea of referrals, and do so with what I call the referral bridge or bridge phrase. In the physical world, a bridge is a structure that transports a person from one safe piece of land to another. In the referral world, a bridge is a statement that transports a person from one safe piece of land, the know, like, and trust relationship with this person, to another safe piece of land. The ability where you can ask for referrals in such a way that both you and your referral source both feel comfortable. Okay. So, so the statement I use, and it can be set up a couple of different ways, but basically it's, and I think I said her name was Anne, as more and more of my business is now through referrals and introductions, I find it helpful to partner with my clients and friends such as you. Can we take a few quick minutes and run past the names of some other people I might also be able to help?
So now, Bob, what does partnering look like?
Okay. So you could start that question out by, by the way, by saying, you know, as I'm, if it, in other words, if you don't, if your business hasn't become more referral based and you just don't feel right saying that, you could just say, as I'm expanding my referral business, I find it's helpful to partner with. Okay. Mm-hmm. So let's take each of those aspects. So again, going to the original way I said it, and as more and more of my business is now through referrals and introductions, I find it helpful to partner with my clients and friends such as you. Now, the reason we're doing that is we're bringing her into our world and we're giving her part of our success. As a partner, she is part of that success. Okay. Mm-hmm. And remember, she knows, likes, and trusts us. So this is a good thing. This is something that she's excited about. So I find it helpful to partner. And again, when you say helpful, there's no desperation there, right? You're doing it with emotional posture. So I find it helpful, not necessary. I find it helpful to partner with my clients and friends such as you. The next part of the phrase is very important. Can we take a few quick minutes and run past the names of some other people? Now, this is what I call fast language or quick language. You're not saying it fast, you're not saying it quickly, but you're implying with your words and correctly that you're not going to take up a whole lot of her time because she's busy, right? And so you're putting her at ease that way. We want this process to be comfortable for everyone. So if you listen to these fast words, can we take a few quick minutes and run past the names, okay, then of some other people I might also be able to help. Now, why do I say might instead of definitely? Don't I know that I could, right? Because we know that not everybody's going to be interested. She knows that. And we want to, again, assure her through our words that we're not going to come on too strong, too aggressively, inappropriately. Right. You're safe. Exactly. Exactly. And that is so very important. This is why we always want to provide what I call the out or back door. Okay. And the outer back door is simply that emotional escape. So the person knows they're in control and they know the people who they refer will be in control. Mm-hmm. Okay. So just one more time would be, and as more and more of my businesses is now through referrals and introductions, I find it helpful to partner with my clients and friends such as you. Can we take a few quick minutes and run past the names of some other people I might also be able to help? Now, if she reflexively says, sure, but I might not know anyone, that's okay. Just kind of listen, don't interrupt. Have a, you know, calm demeanor. And then you simply say, oh, that's fine. I'm actually going to give you some very helpful hints that are going to help you bring up think of some names of some very good people. And if you do, great. And if not, that's fine too. We can always revisit it another time. Again, the out or back door. But then you're going to go right into how you're going to the way to ask. This is key right here, because here's where a lot of people, and again, I did the same thing when I was first starting out. Here's where they really kind of, you know, mess up a little bit. And that's by saying, well, Anne, who do you know, or do you know anyone who would be a, and then however you would ask, depending upon what you do. Now, what happens is the person will think about it. And they're trying to come up with somebody. And finally, they say what? Well, I can't think of anybody right now, but when I do, I'll call you or let you know. And of course, nothing usually happens, right? Mm-hmm. Well, it's not that person's fault. See, most people know 250, 300, 350 people directly or indirectly. But what happens is when we say, do you know anyone who or who do you know? A collage of 250, 350 people go dancing past her head. She can't identify any of them. And you know how the memory is. You start trying really hard because remember, she wants to please you. She knows you. She likes you. She trusts you. But it now the harder she tries, the worse it gets. And she can't think of anyone. Tom Hopkins in his masterpiece, How to Master the Art of Selling. And I read this 40 years ago. And I'm telling you, he dedicated half a page to this. And I am telling you, it's worth millions. And that is how he says to ask in such a way that will never have to happen again. What Tom, or as I call him, Mr. Hopkins, suggested was to gently funnel down their world into small groups of people they could easily see or identify, okay? So let's say we know Anne is a golfer, okay? And we say, Anne, I know you like to golf. So, oh, yeah, I love golf. I play it, you know, every Sunday afternoon. Well, do you play with different people every time or the same? Oh, same foursome. We've been playing with each other for years. Harriet Brown, Michael Clough, Dr. Mary Ruart, the four of us have been golfing buddies for years. Boom, she has just identified three people, right? Mm-hmm. So now we might say, would Harriet or Michael or Dr. Mary, do you feel be interested in or open to or, you know, however, again, that now the language would be just however you would ask, depending upon mm-hmm. what you do. Okay, so maybe all three, maybe none of them, maybe one of them, I don't know. But see, we've created a win for her, right? We've created the environment where she can come up with names. So now she relaxes emotionally. She knows she can come up with people. Now we move over to another, another premise. We know she's a member of her local National Association of Women Business Owners, NABO. They have chapters all over North America. We don't ask, and they meet every Tuesday for lunch. We don't ask, is there anybody in NABO? Because that could still be too big a group, right? We don't know. So instead we say, is there anyone in your local chapter who you're particularly friendly with, maybe you sit next to every time or you serve on a committee with? Boom. Well, there's two people that come to mind. Oh, Wood, boom. And now maybe yes, maybe no, maybe one, maybe both, maybe not. I don't know. Let's move over. We know she's also the chair of the board of her local animal shelter. So we say, you know, how many people serve on the board with you, Anne? Well, there's myself and there's four others. Well, four is a pretty easy number. So we say, Anne, picture those four in your mind individually. Which of them, if any, again, out or back door, if any, do you feel would be open to, boom. Okay. So what's happened is within these frames, she's going to come up with somebody, right? One or two people. And once that happens, her memory starts to really, you know, come through because there's no pressure and she's having fun. She's enjoying the process. And now again, depending upon your line of work, you can, and the relationship you have with her, you can ask about, you know, neighbors, people she works with, people she's still in touch with from college or, you know, whatever it happens to be, you can decide that. But I would know going in which direction you're going to go and be prepared to do that. And that's really that's my referral system.
Mm-hmm. I would love to get into it more. This is a last long answer question. You guys can go check out Bob's website. He's going to give all the details at the end of the call. He's got a great GoGiver Alliance. He's got a great referral system program. It goes into real depth on everything that we've been discussing. Compensation. I mean, in certain areas, do you compensate people to give you referrals?
So my suggestion, and here's one of the rare times that I will give a definitive answer, and that is, it depends.
Now, man.
That was awesome. No. I love that.
Well, here's the thing, guys. Here's the thing. Because if I was Ann and Bob was saying, well, I like to partner with, immediately I was thinking to myself, I wonder what the fee is for me. And that's what I was thinking when he said that. So I was like, waiting for that, Gino. So you took the words out of my mouth.
Not really. Here's basically my thoughts on this. Okay. I would not offer a referral fee. Mm-hmm. Okay. What I would do is after a person refers me, I would always send a thank you, handwritten thank you note. It could be a, you know, if you know they love Starbucks or Dunkin' Donuts, it could be a gift card. If they love books and on, you know, Roman war strategies, get them in, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I would do it afterwards. I wouldn't create a, now I'm not talking about when you have a joint venture, you know, partnership or something. That's a whole different thing. I'm talking about, because remember, people are going to refer you really not for a payoff. Mm-hmm. Okay. They're going to do it because they know, like, and trust you. The gift or acknowledgement afterwards is kind of icing on the cake. And, you know, behavior that gets rewarded gets repeated, and they are going to enjoy that. And they're going to be much more likely to think of you. But if you, but it would be, in, you know, in Dan Pink's book, Drive, you know, he talked about when money is it's called an external motivator. Mm-hmm. Typically, it's not as effective mm-hmm. as the internal motivator, which is doing something because you have a personal reason for it. And so, you know, again, that would be my thought. Also, remember, if you offer referral fees, once this referral becomes a customer of yours or a client, and then you offer them a referral fee, they're going to know that that person was basically paid to refer you, and they're going to feel kind of let down. Mm-hmm. Now, again, always no. And there's different circumstances, of course. I don't
want to start a chain of prostitution and no one likes that.
But exactly.
All right, gang, let's take a quick time out to hear from our sponsor.
Are you looking for ways to improve your life?
Here at Jake and Gino, our mission is to empower students through financial education and the vehicle of multifamily investing.
Yes, Jake. We agree that a person with financial intelligence can change the world for the better.
We've created our proprietary three-step framework, Buy Right, Manage Right, and Finance Right, that we teach to our community. This framework, along with education, our one-on-one mentorship, on-site boot camps, and the amazing community, has propelled our students to massive success.
We've all been there. We've had so many students that have been able to shift their mindset, overcome limiting beliefs, and set a clear path to achieve their goals. Whether you're currently fixing and flipping, wholesaling, or buying single-family rentals, and you know that multifamily investing is the right vehicle for you, I encourage you to visit jakeandgino.com/apply to schedule your complimentary consultation with our team. And I want to let you know, this isn't a high pressure sales call. It's really just a discovery call to get to know each other better and see if we're a good fit for working together. And if for any reason we're not a good fit, our team has tons of resources we will share with you to help you along your journey.
If you're ready to stop spinning your wheels, go to jakeandgino.com/apply and schedule your call now. All right, we're back. We're talking about focus on serving others. And Gino knows my favorite business, and this doesn't have to be sales because I think it's broader than that, is Chick-fil-A. May have not, you know, any comments on this whatsoever, Bob, but any thoughts on Chick-fil-A's model and how they're focused around serving others, aligning with the Go-Giver? Because I know what you're saying, it's a sales strategy or movement, if you will, but I think it's broader than that.
Yeah. Well, okay. So, I guess I have to put in the disclaimer that, you know, I can't stand the idea of animals being killed for food. So that, you know,
so you don't have much experience at Chick-fil-A and the high quality service there.
No, but I've heard enough from others to gotcha. Know that they do a fantastic job of making their guests feel very, very welcome. Yeah. Like the Ritz-Carlton, they answer "my pleasure" instead of "no problem" or "you're welcome." And everything they do is very much a class organization.
Well, we hit a nerve there, so we'll leave it and we'll move on to the next question.
No, it's no nerve. It's just that I feel I have to answer that, you know.
Hey, you're being transparent. We know vegans and vegetarians as well, so we love everybody here. All right, any projects or anything that going into 2022 that you want to share that you're excited about right now?
We really, Kathy Tageno, my wonderful business partner and friend, she and I have been developing. Well, over the past year, we've had the actually about 6 months or so, have had the Go-Giver Success Alliance, which is an online mentorship community. Mm-hmm. And which has been a blast. We have just loved it. And we just have such high quality people all sharing ideas and collaborating with one another and strategizing and answering questions. And it's just been a lot of fun. So we're going to continue to build that. And we have a certified Go-Giver speaker program where people license my quote unquote intellectual properties I've developed over the past 30 years. Still kind of weird for me to say I have intellectual properties, but I guess I have.
The real thing. Any comments around voice inflection? I feel like, you know, when you're in sales, that's a part of it, and knowing how to approach your customer. I think that you know, you definitely have some skills around that. Do you have any kind of advice there?
Well, I think whenever we do speak, it's certainly better to, you know, make ourselves sound interesting than not. But I think the more we listen, I think to the degree that we actually listen and really listen deeply and make sure that we clarify so that we truly, truly understand what that person needs, wants, and desires. You know, I think what we say and what our, or what our voice is and the inflections is actually probably the least important. However, I do also agree that we should be, you know, we should do the best we can to improve ourselves in all important areas.
I used to call it the little boy voice when I called on nurses back in the day. I would bring cupcakes and a little boy voice, and it seemed to work all right for me. So you got to know your customers, right? G-Dead, wrap us up.
Been a very, for me, entertaining podcast. If you are an investor out there and you're looking to raise capital, go back and listen to this once again, because Bob just laid out the framework, the blueprint on how to ask people if they've experienced a great deal with you, how they can share with their friends. And we know there's a lot of doctors and lawyers out there who, when they're in a real estate deal, they love to go tell their friends. So really go back and listen to it. Listen to the wordsmithing that Bob used in that, delivering it, the way he's actually using a lot of, I guess, NLP in there. He's using future pacing. He's using all those words. And it's really important. And you need to practice it. You need to be able to say it with confidence, with certainty. And it's just repetition. Practice makes progress. That's what you need to do. You need to get the system. You need to believe in the system. And I didn't dive into the facts of how much better referrals are, how much cheaper they are for you, how much of a higher quality prospect they are. We all know that intuitively. Listen to it again. Go out. And the other thing I think, Jake, we should do is, you know, coming from a broadcaster into sales, into becoming the ultimate go-giver, I think this makes a great gift also as well. What I love about the book, it's very simple. Jake and Gino can read this in a day, day and a half. And what I love about it more than anything else, it'll change your mindset. You may be this person, Joe, you may be this person in here saying, I need that next sale. No, you don't need that next sale. You need to provide value to the next person, which will ultimately lead to the next sale. I think if you can change your mindset to that, sales is actually going to become fun, because then you're going to start attracting people who want to work with you. And then you're going to be start looking for those opportunities and for that value out there, not to make the sale, but to see how you're going to solve a problem for that person. And then you are ultimately going to become a go-giver as well.
Right on.
Well said. Bob, thank you so much for your time today. Gentlemen, have a great rest of the day.
Bob Berg, it's been a pleasure, my friend. Take care.
Pleasure's mine. Thank you, guys. Appreciate you always.
Earning your degree online doesn't mean you have to go about it alone. At Capella University, we're here to support you when you're ready. From enrollment counselors who get to know you and your goals, to academic coaches who can help you form a plan to stay on track, we care about your success and are dedicated to helping you pursue your goals. Going back to school is a big step, but having support at every step of your academic journey can make a big difference. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.